We're on the last three verses of Proverbs 31. And I think that we'll just go ahead and read through it.
Did you start it? Sorry.
Yes, I did. Starting from verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it's yet night, and she giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. It's been a blessing for me to study this, how the Lord has revealed who this virtuous woman is. And we know that that's his calling on each of our lives. And he has called us with a holy calling, a calling to be espoused to him, to be married to him as his bride. And he looks for that heart that is willing to allow him to work these qualities of the virtuous woman in and through them. And I'm thankful that it's all by his grace, all by his power, all by his might. It's all of him. He supplies every need there. And he's blessed her, and she's laid a hold of those blessings, all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Everything that's in Christ, all the blessings, they're ours. And we are without excuse. Truly, we are without excuse. He provides it all. And he is desiring and willing and longing to work these attributes in and through each one of us. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. We talked about this word virtuous in the very beginning, and I just want to go over that again. It is... Virtuous means force, army, wealth, strength, power, might. Many have shown these qualities. There are many daughters. There are many in Christian among the Christians. Many, many have done virtuously. Many have this strength and power that comes from the Lord. But this woman excels them all. She is but one. In Psalms 45, verse 9, the king's daughters are among thy honorable women, but upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. This virtuous woman is but one that stands out among many. I am so thankful that the Lord has brought us into a place where we hear the precious bridal truth. And in that he brought you, will he not supply the need to be ready for that time when he comes for his bride? So many do virtuously. They have a knowledge of scriptures. We can sit in this meeting, hear this message, have the knowledge, quote scriptures, even know about the bride inside and out, be able to witness, be able to stand up and proclaim the truth in all its fullness. But then there is the one that is intimately in love with him and him alone. There's a relationship. It's just not knowing. It's just not experiencing certain things. This virtuous woman has entered into that inner chamber that he so desires to have, that intimate fellowship, that love relationship. And there aren't many that want to go that way. They come up to a certain place, but this woman goes beyond that. Many come up to their sufferings there, and all of a sudden they draw back. I'm not going to go this way. I'm not going to take that step forward. And this is too hard. It's way too hard. And the virtuous woman lays a hold of his strength and his power and hears him say, come unto me, I will supply your need. I will provide all that you need to come this way. She's fallen in love with him. She's been intimate with him. She's allowed him to make her and making her the ready wife. She follows after that which he's apprehended her for, and she wants it. She desires only him. She's in love with him. Her heart is intently focused upon him. That song, it reminds me that she doesn't gaze upon her eyes, don't look at her garments. She doesn't look at herself, but she gazes upon him. She's completely enveloped in his love. In Song of Solomon 6, 8 through 9, there are 70 queens and 70 concubines and the virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one, and she is the only one of her mother. She's the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her. She is the choice one. That choice one means, it's a root word that means clarify. That is to brighten or make bright. It means beloved, pure, clean, clear, empty, and sincere, clear to the light. Remember hearing that from the pulpit. And Brother Hill would quote that in Philippians 1:10, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. She is sincere. She is clear. There isn't any falseness in her. She is open. She's clear to the light. He sees her heart. And she's not like all Christians, so-called Christians. She is totally in love, enraptured in him. He has enlightened the eyes of her understanding, and she's willing for him to change her from glory to glory, to conform her to the image of his dear son. In Revelation 21:11, she's like the jasper stone, a diamond, clear as crystal. In Ruth 3:11 it says, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." You see, many see her and know she's the choice one. There are many that hear his calling of love, many that hear that he wants them, but they refuse it. They will not submit. They will not allow him to make them ready. They know and they hear about it continually, but they're not willing to be presented to him as a chaste virgin. They've allowed many times the enemy to beguile and corrupt them from the simplicity that's in Christ. Their eyes many times are on self or others, and that can be a great defeat. Comparing themselves by themselves and with others. Their speech, "Oh, what if? Oh, I can't. Not now. Or what about? Or what if? Oh, look at me. I've got so much going on. I've been through so much. Look at me. I'm suffering. Oh, a more convenient time. I've got so much on my plate. I don't have time." Remember Vashti? She refused the king's calling by his chamberlain. It wasn't convenient for her to come when the king called her. Esther didn't ignore that. Esther heard his calling. And neither does this virtuous woman. She doesn't ignore it. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. Esther 2:17, "And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins." So that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. She submitted, she yielded to all that it took for her to be ready to meet the king. She listened to Haggai, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. The cost is too great for some. They are satisfied to know him as Savior, maybe a healer, a provider, but refuse to go any further, refusing the separation. They will not allow the separation. They look at others and they don't want the Lord to separate them from the family. Rebecca is another example. She heard the calling. Her family wanted her to stay there for 10 more days, but she was ready to go. "I will go." So many please self and want self and what self wants. They will not deny self and follow him. They refuse to be led by the Holy Spirit. And his abundant grace is for them to bear all things and is willing to make them virtuous women, but they refuse to take it. They fail to lay a hold of all the provision that God has provided for them. So many hearts are full of unbelief. They're breed with anxiety or fears or full of fretfulness or else they're just trying to work to please him. They're trying to do service. They're trying to build this or preach this or teach this or whatever they think they can do, which magnifies themselves really, to try to please him. It's not that way at all. You let him work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So many are wanting to stay busy and be like a Martha, but this virtuous woman is as Mary and sits at his feet, learns of him. Her ear is very tuned to him. Her heart is always tender. When he brings forth correction, she falls down, and she's willing to be corrected. She's willing to accept that reproof, rebuke, with all long suffering. This delights his heart. He has given a willing heart filled with divine love to this woman. This woman wants him so much, so intimately she wants to know him. Her love and attention is only on him and him alone, and her affections are on him and not herself, not the world, not others around her, but on him. She's ravished his heart by submitting, by heeding his calling to her, and has allowed the Holy Spirit to work. In Song of Solomon 4:7, he says of this virtuous woman, "Thou art all fair, my love." That word fair is beautiful. "There's no spot in thee. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thy ointments and all thy spices." You see, she satisfies him to the utmost. Yes, she excels them all. That word excelleth means to ascend, rise up, rise above. She's lifted above the rest. Paul said, "If by any means I might attain unto the out resurrection of the dead," that is, to rise up before all others. Let's read 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Starting in verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receive prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul kept in subjection to the Lord. And that's one of the big things that is there every day. Are we going to submit to the Lord? You see, there are different glories. There are those that will submit fully. In 1 Corinthians 15:41, "There's one glory of the sun, and there's another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. The sun has one degree of splendor. The moon has another. And so also the stars. They differ from each other in magnitude and brightness and in beauty. She has the sun glory. His glory is in her. His glory is in her, not her glory. She's all glorious within, and it shows. Revelation 21:11 says, "Having the glory of God." The next verse is, "Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Most of the world, and even the majority of Christendom today, seeks a worldly favor and a worldly beauty. The virtuous woman does not seek favor of others or the world. She knows it's vainglory. It's empty. It's deceitful. It's a disappointment. This word means disappointment, falsehood, deception. What deceives or disappoints or betrays one? That's the world's beauty. Only the Lord's favor is what she desires. He's given her favor and these inner qualities and the desire to please him and satisfy him only. In Ruth 2:12-13, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then Ruth said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy own handmaids. See, Ruth knew that she wasn't like the others, but Boaz found favor of her. She won his heart. Excuse me, she found favor of Boaz. Esther obtained favor in the king's sight. She put on the royal clothing and stood in the inner court, the inner chamber, and the king saw her. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the scepter, the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. He saw beauty in her. I don't think that Esther was truly beautiful until she allowed Haggai to do all that. She took everything that he told her to do. All that his instruction was given unto her, she took that. And that's what made her beautiful. The Holy Spirit makes this woman beautiful. Not the world. The world, it's vain. It's empty. It's something that you can try to be beautiful, but it's transitory. It's unsatisfactory. There's a natural beauty that's going to fade. In time, it will dissatisfy. You'll become old. And the majority of men and women, they seek after anything and everything, whatever the world sells, to make them beautiful. They will spend money that they probably really don't have, but they will invest in to make themselves gorgeous. But true beauty, that comes from within. That comes from the Lord himself. The virtuous woman is truly beautiful. It's him that has made her beautiful. It does not appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we will be changed in a twinkle of an eye. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, and it does, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He has given to her beauty for ashes. In 1 Peter 3:2-4, while they behold your chaste, that means clean and pure, conversation, means behavior, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that of outward adorning, of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. That means costly, very precious, a great price in the sight of God. True beauty is internal, not external. Psalms 90:17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. The Lord in her has made her beautiful. She has a heart that satisfies him, and that is beautiful. She makes it known, it's Christ in me. She doesn't look for compliments from others. She's satisfied with what he thinks of her. See, people look on the outward appearance, and many judge on the outward appearance, but he looks at the heart. He says, thou art fair. You're beautiful. He said, there's no spot in you. He calls her my fair one, my beautiful one, my love. In Psalms 45:2, he says, thou art fairer than the children of men. She's a lily among thorns. She stands out in her life, his life in her has grown, and she manifests his glory, his beauty. It's no comparison, not even worthy to be compared to this world. I mean, compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in her. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She is fully submissive to her husband, that is Jesus. She has reverence for the Lord. She feareth the Lord, that means reverence. Psalms 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Psalms 147, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. His pleasure and praise is in this virtuous woman, for she continually holds him in highest honor and reverence. She shall be praised. That word praised means to shine. She shall shine. To make a show, boast, celebrate, give in marriage. That word praise, give in marriage, commend. See, the bridegroom in Song of Solomon boasts in her. He describes her in the fourth and the sixth chapter, actually through all of it. It's her Lord that makes her shine, and he praises her. She does not seek the praises of men or to be commended by man. In 2 Corinthians 17 through 18, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. This woman doesn't seek for accolades, acknowledgments from others, but only seeks to please and satisfy him as he enables her to yield to his will. She does whatsoever she does heartily as unto him. Therefore, she doesn't expect from other people to lift her up or acknowledge her, or she doesn't want the attention to be on her. She wants it always to be on him. She wants to say, it is because of my Lord. It's because of him and his work in me. Ephesians 1:12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory. It is all by his grace. All by his grace. And he giveth the grace for all of it. The last verse says, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. One day soon, this virtuous woman, this bridal saint, will receive the fruit of her labor. We saw this in verse 16, how she planted a vineyard and it yielded much fruit. How was that done? She abided in him. Jesus said, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Her Lord will see to it that she is given the fruit of her hands. God will see to it. Matthew 25:21, his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. See, this virtuous woman's presented her body, a living sacrifice unto him, holy and acceptable, always seeking just him. She's filled and overflowing with the Holy Spirit, with all the fullness of God. She's an open vessel, and he fills her. In fact, she overflows. Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. Her life is a garden enclosed, a fruitful garden, an odor of a sweet smell, a spring, a well, a fountain shooting up with living waters that not only refresh herself, but refreshes others. And it refreshes the Lord, and it pleases him. Jesus said, I know thy works, I do not forget them. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work or labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that ye minister to the saints and do minister. That's Hebrews 6:10. when she did it unto his brethren, or her brethren as well, she did it as unto him. She's taken the abundance of his grace and abounded into unto every good work that he foreordained for her to walk in. She built with gold, silver, and precious stones. Her work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Her work was tried by fire. In 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. One day, soon, we know he's coming soon, that blessed hope that she possessed and has possessed and held dear to her heart will be made sight. She that counted and suffered the loss of all things to win him, she that fought a good fight of faith, that stayed fixed and finished the course set before her, she that groaned many times in her mortal body and desired to be clothed with that glorified body, but she believed that her light afflictions were just for a moment, and it worked for her a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. She that looketh forth as the morning for her beloved, she that held fast her crown and let no man steal her crown, she who continually looked for his coming and will receive the crown of righteousness that was laid up for her. She knew that he that tarried would come, because she heard his calling many times and whispered to her, "I'm coming soon." She oftentimes heard it from her pastor, from teachers, from evangelists, from prophets, "He's coming soon." Each day she listened intently. When she would hear him say, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, my undefiled, my choice, my dove, my pearl, so fair, my bride, no longer tarry here, come away with me," she will be changed. She will be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue things unto himself. She will stand at his side, and she will hear him say, "My cup is full, and I'm satisfied. I've gained my pearl. Thou art my bride, a jewel rare of life and sheen. To sit with me, a royal queen." Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice. And give honor to for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife thank you, Lord. His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, and I jog saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21:9-11 says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light," that means the brilliancy, "was like unto a stone most precious, like a jasper stone, that is like a diamond, clearer as crystal." Jesus' life, his light, his pure character is displayed in her. Then one day, it says in Revelation 3:9, "Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." See, it's going to take ages upon ages for him to show his worship, his masterpiece, his delight, the exceeding riches of his grace. Ephesians 2:7 says that in the ages to come, he'll show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by his Spirit. Colossians 1:26 says, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to the saints." And 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." My prayer is that we who have been privileged to hear and know and hear his high calling would lay aside those weights that so easily besets us, that weighs us down from running the race, that we would press on and apprehend that for which also we are apprehended of Christ Jesus. I pray that we would let him kiss us with the kisses of his mouth. It says, "Let him kiss you with the kisses of his mouth, for his love is better than wine." I pray that we allow him to make us this virtuous woman. He so desires that for each one of us. He so longs for that. That was the joy that was set before him. I pray that we always say and know, "I am my beloved's," and his desires towards me, that we would let it be real to our hearts how he longs, how he desires each one of us. Matthew 11:15 says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." In Revelation 3:13 it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." James 5:8, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." In Revelation 22:20, "Surely I come quickly." Hebrews 10:37, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, will not tarry." And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 18, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." He's coming soon. Be as his ready wife. She is taking her place as his wife now. Now. Totally, completely in love with him. Not looking to the right or to the left, or looking at people, or looking at self, but looking unto him. He brought this message to each one of us because we're in this last hour, and he wants these qualities for us, just to let him work these qualities in us. He calls to you daily. He calls to you from the pulpit. We hear it continually. Take it by faith. You're beautiful in his sight. You're everything he gave his life for. Thank you, Jesus.